Morning, family. Are you all well? Was that an applause? Just wondering. It's good to be together this morning. I hope you're feeling a little bit of a holiday feeling. In our house, definitely. Tomorrow's public holiday, but this week we don't have to get up so early, get the kids to school and everything, so it just feels like a little bit of a holiday. This morning I'd like to share a word with you around just our theme of dwelling place currently and talk about, I think, one of the most important areas where we need to make sure that we are creating a dwelling place for God, and that's in our minds. So we're going to talk a little bit about our minds today and just how do we create a dwelling place for God in our thinking, because our thinking is very important. How many of you know that your thinking is important in your life? Even in this clip that we just saw, so much of what we experience in life is determined by what we think about things and how we reason and how we figure out things in our mind. And therefore, the psalmist writes in I think this was the first scripture I ever memorized, was Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3. It says the following: "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and upon his law he meditates day and night. For he will be like a tree planted by streams of living water that will bear its fruit in season and out of season, whose leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." The scripture here, the psalmist writes to us, and he says we should meditate upon the law of the Lord day and night. Now, what does it mean to meditate? To meditate, I know Pastor Jack always speaks about to chew on the Word of God. Am I right, Jack? You say that? It's to take the Word of God and to bring it into our minds and to let it sort of just mull over it, to think and rethink, to consistently let the Word of God find a resting place, a dwelling place, can I say, in our minds. And when God's Word starts finding a dwelling place in our minds and it starts filling our minds and it becomes the sort of the center of our thinking and the rest of our thinking starts revolving around the Word of God, things will happen in our lives and things will change. Philippians 4 verse 8 says these wonderful words: "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." We all meditate. You meditate every day. You think about things. You present your mind towards something. And that's the idea that the scripture has, is that you and I are actually in control of what we think about. But we have to choose, what do we focus our minds on? We take our mind and we present it to something. And what we present it to will have a massive influence in how we live our lives. The scripture says in Proverbs 23 verse 7, "As a man thinks, so is he." As a man thinks, so is he. Your thinking directs your life. The way we think about things will eventually cause how we act, what we do. It forms our habits because of the way we think about things. So how we think and what we think about is very important, as it determines our attitudes and our actions. Sometimes we do things and you don't quite understand, now why did I do this? It's probably useful to go back into your thinking and to do a bit of analysis on your thinking, and when you see how you think about things, you'll understand why you do certain things. Certain people we behave towards in certain ways. And it's normally because we think of them in certain ways that we act in those ways. Colossians 3 verse 2 therefore says, "Set your minds on things above and not on the things on the earth." Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, or on things below. Set your mind. Here's an instruction for us. This is something you and I have to actively participate in and actively do, is choose where do we set our minds. Where does your mind rest? Where's your mind focused towards? You choose where your mind is focused towards. And what you focus your mind on, that will become the thing that directs your life. We have to choose this. You either present your mind to the things above, or you present your mind to the things of the earth. Now, as children of God, this is our challenge. We have to set our minds on things above. Now, this is a difficult thing. I don't know if you've realized this in your own life, but definitely for me, it's not always easy to set my mind on things above. It's almost as if the natural default setting of my mind is on things below. Anybody else recognize that in your own mind? You sort of just let your mind go. It finds its rest and its direction towards the things of the earth. If I don't discipline my mind, it will become anxious. If I just don't have direction for my mind, it wanders into places and things where it shouldn't go. It's always interesting that I could take a magazine and go and lie on my bed and read it and be fine. But the moment I pick up my Bible and start reading, I fall asleep. By your laugh, I presume it's just not me that it only happens to. Okay, that makes me feel a whole lot better. Isn't it amazing how you could lie on your bed and think about all sorts of things? The moment you start praying, you fall asleep. I've actually started doing this as a trick. If I can't fall asleep, I pray. Then I know it's not going to be long, then I fall asleep. Because our minds, it's at home in this world. And this is because of our fallen nature, because we are people that have been born of sin, and therefore we're at home here in our natural state. And our minds understand the rhythms of this world. Our mind understands the pathways of this world. It sort of just easily goes along. It just floats down the river of the thinking of this world, and it's very easy to do that. But to get your mind to focus and to set your minds on the things above, it takes effort, doesn't it? The psalmist says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." He commands himself. The scripture says, "Take hold of your mind. Discipline your mind. Put your mind in subjection to Christ." This is an active thing you have to do. I don't think any of us, our minds will just wander off to Jesus if we don't make them focus on things above. Our minds will stay on things below. So this is a great challenge for us. It's not an easy thing to do. I want to show you a little graphic to try and explain to you this reality that we face in our lives. Now, if the graphic comes up, you'll see there's two similar pictures. So the guys will bring it up. There we go. These two pictures, on the left-hand side, you have the picture of what you look like, whether you believe it or not. This is what you look like before you give your heart to Jesus. This picture comes from Professor Bob Saucy as he was talking about being born again. The picture on the right-hand side is what your life looks like now that you've given your heart to Jesus. On the left-hand side, you'll notice this is a spot the difference picture. Remember those when you played when you were a kid and you had to circle the differences? How many of you can spot some differences between those two pictures? On the left-hand side, the first notable difference is, can you notice that under the word God, there's a line, a solid line? The scripture tells us that our sins have built a wall between us and God. So there's a separation on the left-hand side. Before you become born again, give your heart to Jesus, there's a separation between you and God. You are the person, the circle with the heart that says flesh. That's you. Now, you may disagree with me about your shape, but that's you this morning. You may want a more flattering shape, but for the sake of uniformity, we're all round today. Is that okay? Okay, we're all round. So on the left-hand side, there's separation between you and God. Can you also notice that your heart and your flesh is both being drawn towards the things below, the things of this earth, the things of the flesh and the sin, of sin? Because we have a fallen nature, because of the world around us, the environment, the way it influences us, our lives are drawn towards sin. In fact, Paul writes about this, and in Romans 6, verse 17, he says the following: "But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart that to that form of teaching, so you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. But now, as slaves of righteousness, we can put our minds on things above. You see, when before I give my heart to Jesus, I am a slave to sin. It's this idea that there's a certain element where I cannot help myself. Sin is going to be what I do because I'm a slave to sin. But now the picture on the right is a person that's gone through the rest in peace experience, who's died. Not physically, but spiritually, have recognized. And they have died with Christ. When we baptize people, they go through the waters of baptism, and it's a symbolic gesture to show what has happened in their spiritual life. And they're proclaiming to the rest of the community of faith, I have done this, where I have died with Christ, I have been buried with Him, but now I have been risen with Christ. And it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. So that person goes through that death experience, and now they come out on the other side and they look slightly different. They're still round. They still have the same sort of basic makeup, but there's a few things that have changed. Can you notice, first of all, that there's no line between God and us anymore? Do you know this? That when you give your heart to Jesus, that separation has been removed. The veil has been torn. We now have free access into the kingdom of God. You can stand before your Father in His throne room and say, My Father. The scripture says in Ephesians, we are no longer aliens and strangers, but we are members of God's household. The separation has been removed. That's the first great thing. And the second thing that has happened, can you notice there that straight arrow that used to point down from the person's heart now points up? Because now if I've given my heart to Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes and lives in my heart now has an attraction towards God. I am now a child of God. I used to be a child of the world. Now I'm a child of the kingdom of God. My heart now draws towards God. There's an interest, there's a desire in me, an awakening in me towards God. And I want to know Him. I want to please Him. I want to live a life that honors Him and that glorifies Him. My heart draws towards Him. Can you testify to that the moment you submitted your heart to Jesus and the Holy Spirit started living inside of you, that you drew towards God? You want to come to church. You want to read the scripture. You want to pray. It's not always easy, but there's an element of you that says, I want to do this. Because now there's a Spirit of God that cries within me, the Word says, Abba, Father. I'm no longer have the spirit of fear and of slavery. I have now got a spirit of adoption. I belong with my Father. But not only is there that straight line, that is now a connection between me and God, that draws me to God. There's also that curved arrow. Can you see the curved arrow there at the top? And that curved arrow represents the Holy Spirit. Not only do I have an interest towards God, but God responds towards me. And because of the covenant that He made with me, He said, I will give you the Holy Spirit, and He will guide you into all truth. He will comfort you. He will lead you. He will be always present with you. Now I have the Holy Spirit, that is God, that moves through my life, and that not only is my heart drawn towards God, but the Holy Spirit comes and He draws me towards God. And He's every day, every moment of every day, the Holy Spirit is working in your heart and my heart. Every day He's operating, He's finding ways to draw us closer to God and to God's will and to God's kingdom. So when the Holy Spirit works in my heart and finds something in me that is not of God's kingdom, that is not what God wants for me, He deals with that. He zeroes in on that and He works with that until He gets that stronghold or whatever you want to call it out of my life. But He's consistently working with me. That even when I falter and when I fail, the Holy Spirit comes and says, I've got you. You are mine. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will draw you towards God. And He's working with me all the time. And that's the covenant that I have with God. Now it would be great if our story was just that. But do you notice that the flesh is still there? It's now not at the top anymore. It's now at the bottom, but it's still there. Anybody of you, is this a revelation to you? Is this new news to you? Have you not seen this in your own life? That you still tend to do something wrong from time to time. If you're not certain, ask your spouse. They will tell you the truth. We all do from time to time. We still fail. Paul writes in Romans 7, he writes this great piece of literature where he says, the good I want to do, I don't do, and I struggle. And we still have this reality sometimes that we fail. But we must remind ourselves that even if we fail, even if we still have a flesh that wants to draw to the things of this world, I am no longer a slave to sin. The scripture says that I just read to you, Romans 6, verse 17. I have now become a slave to righteousness. There may be this moment where something in me lapses and I make a mistake and I go back to the old way and I go down and I live down. But how many of you know it's very quickly the Holy Spirit comes and says, hey, you're hurting yourself, you're hurting other people. This is not what God has for you. And the Holy Spirit stirs conviction in you. He doesn't condemn you. He doesn't tell you, oh, you worthless piece of, what do you think you're doing? How can you say that you're a Christian? How many of you know that's not the voice of the Holy Spirit? Whose voice is that? That's the voice of the condemner. When he comes and he comes down upon you and he says, you'll never be good enough for God. You think that you're a Christian, but you don't have. No, the Holy Spirit comes and says, my child, what are you doing? I've got so much more for you. There's so much better that I have for you. Let me show you the way. And he draws you back up. And you say, Lord, thank you that you forgive my sins. You renew me. I'm a new creation. And it takes time. Unfortunately, it takes time. It will probably take all of the time you have on this planet for this to keep on happening. Where the Holy Spirit works with us, consistently sanctifying us, changing us, making us to be like Jesus. But He's always with us. And as Bob Mumford says, when Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that wasn't a promise, that was a threat. Because there's some days where you just want to say, oh, Lord, just leave me alone now for a bit. This working on my insides and this changing me, it's hard. I just want to relax. But the Holy Spirit is forever working with us. And He's working in us to draw us towards God. But you and I have a very active part to play in this. I wish being a Christian was like going on a cruise. And I just lie on the deck by the pool and say, Holy Spirit, here I am. I'm not going to move for the next couple of hours, so whatever you want to do, just do it, Lord. And after a week-long cruise, I come back and I'm a new person. I'm a saint because I've just allowed the Holy Spirit. How many of you know that when the Holy Spirit works, you are supposed to participate in the process? This is a partnership that He formed with you. There's parts that only He can do, but there's parts that only you can do. Do you know this? I wish it was not the other way around. I wish I could just sleep with my Bible under my bed, under my pillow, you know. Just wake up in the morning. Whew, I'm so holy now. Wow. What a night. But every day as the Holy Spirit works, he says to me, now come. Come. And one of the major parts of my participation in this process is what I'm doing with this thing inside of here. Natasha actually made me a brain and I forgot it in the car now that I was going to bring out and gross you out and show you my brain. But I have to choose, where do I focus this thing? Do I focus it on the things above, where the Holy Spirit comes and draws me towards God? Am I presenting my mind to those things? Or am I consistently, even as a Christian, presenting my mind to the things of this world? If I'm consistently presenting my mind to the things of this world while the Holy Spirit is working in me, and the Holy Spirit from the covenant I have with Him, He's doing everything in His power to draw me up towards the things of God. I'm presenting my mind to the things below. We've got a problem. Then the scripture says, I'm double-minded. Even a little bit harsher, the scripture says, Paul writes, he says, you are a fleshly believer. You are a carnal Christian. Because you are letting the things of your mind determine the direction of the things of the world that determine the direction of your mind. And that'll ultimately be the direction of your life. Now here, we get onto tricky ground. And do you believe that a person can lose their salvation or not? And I don't even want to go there, but let me just say that if you consistently presenting your mind to the things of this world, Paul writes in Romans 6 verse 23, and he says, the wages of sin is death. Now by that, I don't know if he's saying that you will eventually die spiritually again. I don't think so. But what he's probably saying is that you will bear the fruit of death in your life, even though you have been made alive in Christ. How many of you know that as a Christian, when you present your mind to the things of this world and it leads to sin, that you still suffer the consequences of those sins, even if you're a Christian? God gives us free will and we can choose what we want to do, but that does not absolve us from the consequences of our actions. The wages of sin is death. I can have the Holy Spirit living in me, and I can have the Holy Spirit drawing me to God, and I can come to church from time to time and worship and have something of a spirit that yearns towards God. But if in the week, every day, I'm presenting my mind to the things of this world, guess what? The wages of sin is death. And you will see the results of that in your lives, in our lives. We will see those. So how do we make sure that we are living in a place where there's a dwelling place of God in our minds? That our minds become a place where God feels at home. And I'll read for you Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. Very well-known scripture. We all read this scripture from time to time. And I'm going to encourage you, take this scripture, and if you can in this week, make this a choo-choo scripture. Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. Some of the whole of Romans, if you can handle that. Or the whole of Romans 12, at least. Romans, that's for the month. But this week, take Romans 12, read it. But linger with these two verses. Let your mind mull over these two verses. Let them sort of be there. Paul writes to the Romans and he says the following. I beseech you, therefore. He's not saying, I suggest, or possibly it may be a good idea. He says, I'm begging you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So in other words, my total being, everything I am, I must present to God as a living sacrifice. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. When you read those two words, where in verse 2 it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. It almost reads in English that those are two synonyms, saying the same thing. But if you read it in the original language, these two words are quite different. The word conformed means to live down. It's the meaning it carries. Is to live towards the things of this earth. The word transformed means to live up towards the things of God. So here again, Paul is saying, present your minds not to the things below, but to the things above. Are you being conformed or are you being transformed? That's the question. If I'm presenting my mind to the things of this world and the things below, I am being conformed. And the word conform means is I become like everything else around me. I know what the people around me know. I think the way the people around me think. I behave like the people around me behave. I am just like everybody else. When I am living, my mind lives up and I'm being transformed, I enter into a very interesting place where I start living differently than what is common. I actually become a bit of a strange person. I become an uncommon person. I become a person that has knowledge and access to understanding that other people doesn't have. Because I now live according to God's understanding. I don't get my wisdom from the huisgenoot. I don't get my wisdom from the newspaper. I don't get my wisdom from the TV channels or YouTube or Twitter or Facebook. I don't get my wisdom from the same places where everybody else gets it. And therefore, I'm just the same like everybody else. No, I am tied into something eternal. something that has the bigger perspective. Think about a Noah. If Noah just knew what everybody else around him knew, he would never have built the ark. But in some way, Noah got connected to this above. And he started knowing things, Noah knew things, that nobody else knew. He knew about rain long before it ever rained on the earth. He knew about it. He knew about building boats, which to the scale and size and the magnitude he did it was not common knowledge. He couldn't go and, you know, search Google how to build an ark. He got animals to come together. He knew stuff that we still don't even know today. He knew. Why? Because his mind was set on things above. Think of our very own Paul that wrote this. Have you read the account of Paul, 2 Corinthians? This famous line that he says, "But my grace is sufficient for you." Do you know when the Lord said that to Paul? Paul said that there was a time in his life where he was caught up into the heavenlies and he received revelations. Too wonderful to speak. It's like God said to him, "Paul, I really appreciate you so much and I value our friendship so much. I want you to come over to my house and I'm going to share some secrets with you that you cannot tell anybody." And God brought Paul over and he shared revelations with Paul. And Paul knew things he could never speak about, but he knew things. Do you know God wants to share his secrets with you? God says, does he do anything unless he first reveals it to the prophet? But we cannot know the secrets of God if we get our understanding and our wisdom from the things of the earth like everybody else. God has plans for this nation. God has plans for our city, but it can never happen until we tie into the knowledge that is unknowable on a human perspective, because we set our minds on things above. God has plans for your family. God has plans for your life. That is way beyond, as the scripture says, what you could ever ask or think. You don't even know what to ask because it's beyond your thinking. But when I set my minds on things above, my mind, on things above. When I focus on God, when I make a dwelling place of my mind for God, he starts downloading into my mind the things of heaven. And suddenly I have a different perspective. I start seeing things the way God sees it, because he indwells in my mind. So how do you get this knowledge that is unknowable? I don't think it's rocket science. I think it really begins with just some personal disciplines. And as charismaniacs, we're not always that great with our personal disciplines. We think it must just flow. The Holy Spirit must just move. And that's right, the Holy Spirit must move. But can I tell you, you need to present yourself. You need to present yourself. It's not the Holy Spirit's job to present you. It's your job to present yourself. That's how I read the scripture. And this is not a thing of works. This is not a thing of I'm working to receive God. This is not a thing where I'm saying, well, God, I have to be good enough. No, this is my response. Because my Father loves me and I have received this great love and there's something in me that draws to him, I want to take that and present myself to him and say, Lord, I want more of what you've got. I present myself to him. And every day, I have many opportunities to present myself to the Lord. I don't think we can present our minds to the Lord without having the scripture as part of our lives. If we read the scripture, if we think on the scripture, I don't know what that looks like to you, and I don't want to say one way is better than another way, or because I know we're all different people, but can I just say this? You have to have the scripture in your life and be thinking and meditating and chewing on the scripture, even if it's difficult. Because so often when we take the scripture and we start meditating on it, it's hard. It's difficult. We say, what does this mean? I don't understand this. That's the idea, is that you keep on wrestling, keep on thinking, keep on speaking to people, asking questions, and you can even Google stuff nowadays. But seek out Now be careful what you find with Google. Not all, everything's not true. But talk with people. Say, this scripture, allow the scripture to start settling in you. Have the fresh bread of the word. I mean, nowadays, you can have a verse delivered onto your phone every day from various different sources. To take the scripture, meditate on it, think about it, read it, engage with the scripture. If you're not used to the scripture, then just start by reading. But after a period of time, you want to move on from just reading the scripture to start studying the scripture, start dissecting it a bit, get tools and get go. I mean, at Equipping at Hatfield, we have courses that you can do. There's many different ways that we can help you and to say, how can I draw more from the scripture? Make the scripture part of your life so that your mind can be a dwelling place. Pray. Speak to God. Say, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't understand how this is relevant to me. Or, Lord, I thought this is how it should work, but I'm struggling in my life to make this work. Whatever it is, speak to your Father. He loves you, and He's got the Holy Spirit tailor-made for you to guide you into all truth. Say, Holy Spirit, I need you. Pray, speak to the Father. Engage with other believers. Whether it's in a formal setting or informal settings, seek out other believers and sit with them and discuss the scripture. It's even okay to disagree about it sometimes because we love each other enough that we can even disagree, but we seek out the Word of God so that our minds can receive it and be built around it. Listen to good sermons like this one. A little bit of self-advertising never hurt anybody. I mean, now, you've got YouTube. There's actually too much. But form part of a community of faith that's moving in a direction and say, how can I join and be part of and walk along a road with you and let God work in my life? And there's various other ways. But I think if we want to, it'll happen. If we want to, it'll happen. Make space for God. And I simply want to encourage us all in this. And this is a really basic stuff. But you and I do not know what God can do once we make a dwelling place of our minds for Him. What can God do with us? The understanding He can give us. Not just spiritual understanding, but understanding for life. I mean, better than any parenting book I ever read. Better even than Dobson's book about boys. What? Bringing up boys. And we bought that book. You know, when you have four sons, you need help. But better than that, can I tell you, as a parent, there were times when I had to go on my knees and say, Holy Spirit, I need you to help me. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And still today, I know, wow, thank you, Lord, for that thing that you spoke. In your workplace, there's things that you have to solve, problems you have to work with, people that you need to deal with, and you can go on your knees and say, Holy Spirit, I need your help for this situation, and He will help you and guide you into all truth. He's your constant companion. Present your mind to Him. Say, Lord, my thinking in this area, I think it's wrong. And that's what the word repent means, is to change our thinking about something, to make space for God's way of thinking. And then our lives change. So, repent. Be quick to repent. Say, Lord, there was this area of my life. I used to think this way. I can see the death that it's leading to, the problems that it's causing. Help me to change the way I'm thinking. I repent, Lord, and God can give you His way of thinking. And the fruit of His way of thinking is life and abundance and freedom. I'm going to come to an end now. The worship team, if you want to join me on stage, you're welcome. It's a nice way of saying, come on stage, please. I just want to invite you this morning to present your mind. Now, perhaps you're doing great at this, and you know your mind is, you present your mind to the Lord. But there may be people here that you know that you've slipped a little bit. You've not kept your mind filled with the things of God. And can I tell you, when your mind is not filled with the things of God, it becomes a very dangerous thing. Because your mind cannot be about nothing. I don't care what your husband says to you, he's not thinking nothing. And I know the whole thing about the nothing box, and I also go to my nothing box, but your mind has always got something that it's busy with. No mind is just... It's always busy with something. And if you're filling it with the things of God, there's not a lot of space for all the other stuff. But if it's devoid and empty, the enemy is looking for an empty mind to fill. And we live in a day and age where it's very easy to fill your mind. So let's present our minds. And if you've slipped up, that's okay. The Holy Spirit can help you. Just present your mind. Just perhaps you can leave here today by saying to yourself, this is my one promise to God and myself, that as of tomorrow, I will, and then whatever it is you feel the Holy Spirit saying to you, you need to do. Just do that. And let God start changing your life. Won't you stand with me? Open your mind. Normally we say open your hearts, but let's say this morning, let's open our minds. If you're okay, just close your eyes. We're not going to do anything funny now. Just this is so that you just sort of cut out all the other noise. And just be at a place with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask the worship team to just play for us. And as they play, and just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you right now. Because my words is really not all that important. I'm just trying to facilitate that you can hear what God is saying to you. Let the Holy Spirit come and speak to you. Because when you leave here, you're going to forget what I've said. But if the Holy Spirit is saying something to you, He will remind you of that in the week. Come, Holy Spirit. Just allow the Spirit of God. He loves you. He's so committed to you. He's got such great plans for you. Just come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now, you have to participate. You have to first of all believe Him and say, yes, Holy Spirit, I believe this is You speaking to me. And then you have to put action to what He says. Just say, yes, Holy Spirit, I will do. And then you fill in that blank, whatever it is that you need to do. Come, Holy Spirit. This is between you and the Lord this morning. If you're really brave, you'll tell somebody else. Because that makes it a bit more real. But that's between you and the Lord. You can decide. Holy Spirit, we just welcome You and we thank You for being so real in our lives, being our ever-present, constant companion. It's always there. Even when we're ignoring You, You're busy with us, Lord. I thank You that You've given us so much. And we just want more of You, Lord. We just want the best that You've got for us. Therefore, we present ourselves to You today. We present our minds in particular. We say, have Your way. Have Your way with me. If you're here this morning and as I've put up that graph earlier and you feel that, you know, I'm still that left-hand side picture. There's still a separation between me and God. Then this morning, it'll be great if you allow us to help you, to pray with you and just help you get that division between you and God away. And help you present your heart to the Lord to say, Holy Spirit, come and live within me. So as we're going to end the service now, I'm going to invite you, if you want to come to the front, and our pastoral team will be here with you, and they just so excited about praying with you, just talking with you, and you're welcome, just come to the front. right now, if you want to come to the front, just come. And they'll be here. And just say, I want to give my life to the Lord Jesus. And this is not a religious thing you're doing. This is life. This is reality. Just come. Can we? There's more people that just need to respond, but that's really, it's, you don't need to respond for us, it's for you. We're just here to serve you. But as we close the service now, the team's going to just stay here, and they're ready to pray for people. And if there's any other need, if you just want to come also and say, look, I've not done a good job lately, and I just want to ask you to pray with me that I can present my mind to the Lord. And bring that focus back into my life. Then we'd want to pray with you for that also. If there's anything else we can pray for, that'll be a privilege. So thank you for being with us today. I can end here. Thank you for being with us today. And we pray that you'll have a great time this week. And remember Easter, we'll be together on Sunday. It's a big service. The South Church will be joining here Friday. We've also got Good Friday service. And just come in. Let's hang out together and be in our Father's presence. We love you so much. For those of you that are responding, just wanting people to pray for you, to give your heart to Jesus, you can follow with Elaine over here, and they're going to lead you to a place where they will pray with you specifically. The rest of the guys will just be here to pray for anybody else. Bless you. Have a great day.